And we're going to go ahead and begin reading at verse 1 in just a second. But before we read, would you join me in prayer one more time? Merciful Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, we thank you for the day that you've given us, the beautiful weather and the opportunity to gather again tonight. Thank you for all those who are able to be here. And God, we pray that you'll be with those who are not able to be here, that you will bring healing and help and comfort and grace, whatever the needs may be. But Father, we pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts. We can love each other. We can provoke one another to love and to good works. We can encourage and admonish each other in all kinds of ways. But we know ultimately you alone can change our hearts. And Father, we desperately need you to change our hearts tonight. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict us. I pray that you would change us, conform us to the image of Christ as we look into the scriptures. Help us to be men and women and boys and girls who believe you, who by your grace and the strength of your Spirit are following you. Forgive us of our failures and help us to be faithful in this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start back at verse 1 and just to remind you where we were at this morning, and then we're going to move on beyond that tonight. Colossians 3, 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's a lengthy reading. We've got more scriptures to cover, but I just want you to get these basic principles tonight. If you are risen with Christ, so that's the question. Are you risen with Christ? If that's true, then set your affection on things above and seek those things that are above. Because you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, your life is Jesus. Jesus is our life. And if that's true, then we should seek the things that are above, set our affection on things above. Because we're dead, our life is in Christ. And because when he comes again, we're going to be with him forever. And because of that, live your life in Christ. Die to self and put off the old man and put on the new man. If you look at chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, that's essentially what he's saying. Put off the old man. Die to yourself. Verse 5, he says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. It's where we get the word mortician. He's saying to kill the desires of the flesh, to kill the old man, let the old man die. And then he says, put off these old things. And he lists them out. Mortify your members, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, all of those things. Put off also, verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't lie. Put off the old man with his deeds. So he's saying, who you used to be before you were saved, get rid of all of that, and then put on the new man, because you are a new creature in Christ. So put on the things of Christ. Put on the new. That's what he talks about in verses 10 through 14. And the new man, look at verse 10, is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. What does that mean? That means if you're going to put off the old man and put on the new man, that you need to renew your mind in the knowledge of Christ through his word. And the Bible teaches us that the more you look into the scriptures, the more you're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's like a mirror that shines the glory of Jesus back on you, shows you who you are so you can put off that old man, and shows you who he is, and he'll make you more like himself through his word. That's why we're begging you to get a Bible reading plan and read your Bible every day so you'll be more like Jesus. Because you're dead and you have new life in Christ, so you'll be in the word, be renewed in your mind through the knowledge of him, so you'll be more like him. Because that's really what it's about, isn't it? To know Jesus and to be like Jesus so that we can reach others for Jesus. To know him and to make him know. So put off the old man, put on the new man. And we're to live this new life in Christ, live life in Christ. And that happens by living it out by what is in you. Look at verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Living out the life of Christ is not simply external. It has to begin with the internal. Everybody with me? Well, you remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said they were like whited sepulchers. On the outside, they looked clean and white, but on the inside, they were full of what? Dead men's bones, right? We don't want to be Pharisees. We don't want to clean the outside of the cup and plate, make it look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's filthy. We don't want to do that. How many of you guys have dogs? Just see your hands. You got dogs? Anybody eat out of their dog's dishes? Anybody do that? Some of you might as well. You let your dog lick you on the mouth. You do. That's disgusting. We talked about that last week. You know what dogs do. We left a lot of stuff off the table. We don't want to talk about that. That's gross. Dogs are nasty. And then you come. I've seen you people sharing your ice cream with a dog. That's wasteful and disgusting. Fido gets a lick. You get a lick. That's gross. That's gross. You don't want to share an ice cream cone with your kids, not much less your dog. And you don't want to eat out of the dog's bowl. I mean, listen, I don't care how clean you get the outside of it. You don't want to eat out of it. I don't care what you put in there. Have any of you ever eaten a porterhouse steak? Can I raise your hand if you've ever eaten a porterhouse? I want to rejoice with you. Some of you are like, what's a porterhouse? You should look it up. And then remember the days when people could afford them. I don't care if you cook the juiciest, best porterhouse steak the world has ever seen. If you take that thing and throw it in a dog dish, it's not so appetizing anymore. I'm going to be honest. I might go ahead and eat it anyway. But I wouldn't enjoy it as much. We don't want to clean the outside and then have the inside filthy. This life in Christ that we're talking about, living this life in Christ, it has to flow out of the inside. And so that's why he's saying have your mind renewed. That's internal. And he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What does that mean? It means it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Your circumstances will not steal your joy and your peace. Why? Because when Jesus comes again, you're going to be with them forever. And that means whatever circumstances the world and the devil and your flesh throw at you, it can't shake you because you have peace in your hearts because of Jesus. What if the doctor says you have cancer? You have peace in your heart. What if something happens to one of your kids? You still have peace in your heart. What if something happens to you? You still have peace in your heart because it's in Christ. And we're going to live this life. We're going to have peace in our hearts. Let it, notice what it says, let it rule in your heart. The peace of Christ is, it overrules everything else. It is in control of everything else. The peace of God that's in Jesus Christ is in your hearts. So it's what is in you. Live this out of what is in you, your heart and your mind. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go and look at the parallel passage in Ephesians. I've mentioned this dozens of times, but you ought to study it out on your own. There's a parallel between Colossians and Ephesians. And in Ephesians, you'll remember, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In the parallel here in Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What's he saying? Fill your hearts and minds with the Spirit of God and with the word of God. And so this life in Christ has to flow out of a heart and mind that is filled with the peace of God and the Spirit of God and the word of God. Let me help you out. I can't do that for you. I can't do that for you. That's you waking up in the morning and opening your Bible and spending time praying and reading the Word of God. That's you being constantly in communication with God throughout your day. That's you instead of wasting your life scrolling through social media that you're looking into the Word of God. That's you instead of listening to the filth that you used to listen to when you were lost in sin, listening to music that honors Jesus. That's you taking every part of your life, filling your hearts and minds with the things of God. If you want to live your life in Christ as you should, then it's got to start with the internal, what's in you, your heart and your mind. But it goes beyond what's in you. Out of that flows your action. Out of that flows what you do. Look at verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So what does that mean? Everything you do ought to be done in the name of Jesus. What's that mean? Listen, a lot of us have some good friends that are, they're a different breed of Christian. And I've got some friends who think doing things in the name of Jesus just means to say the name of Jesus when they do whatever. That is not what this verse says. Okay? Everybody with me? It's not just throwing the name of Jesus on any activity, any thought, anything that you say or think or do. That's not what this is. To do something in the name of Jesus means that you are acting under the authority of Jesus. That doesn't mean I'm going to do whatever I want to and slap the name of Jesus on it for his approval. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to just do what you want to and then invoke the name of Jesus. That's not what this is saying. Does everybody understand what I'm saying right now? I'm just telling you, a lot of people are doing things that are contrary to the word of God, trying to slap the name of Jesus on us and act like he's going to be happy with that. That's not what that means. To do something in the name of Jesus actually means to do something under the authority of Jesus. That means that what we do is in accordance to what he says to do. What we do is in accordance to his words, keeping his commandments, obeying his directives in our lives. That means that what I'm doing is something that would please him. Well, how do you know, preacher? How do you know what Jesus wants you to do? I saw it on YouTube. No, I read it in his word. Everybody with me? Doing something in the name of Jesus means that our actions are under his authority. Our actions are under his direction. Our actions are in line with the Bible and in accordance to the leadership of his Holy Spirit. That's what doing something in the name of Jesus means. His name means his power, his authority. And our actions are to be under his authority. Why? Because he has all authority. It's his. And I listen, it's never not his. It's always his authority. There's a lot of, listen, a lot of people get mixed up with this, and we need to understand what we do needs to be in his name, under his authority, according to his word, by the leadership of his Spirit. And by the way, we ought to do it with thankful hearts. Whatever you do, do it in his name, under his authority, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We ought to rejoice that we can do anything for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Like, you get to do something for Jesus. It's There's no higher calling. There's no higher honor than to be able to live your life in obedience to Christ. So we do it with grateful hearts. Whatever you do. Let me jump ahead just a little bit here. And verse 23 says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. If you're not convicted by this verse, you should be. You guys help me out. What does the word whatsoever mean? What does that leave out? Whatsoever you do. What that would be everything you do. Whatsoever you do would include everything you do. And you ought to do everything you do heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. To what degree should we take this? I mean, do we really take it literally? Should you brush your teeth heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men? I'll let you contemplate that. Your dentist says yes, but really secretly he says no, because he makes more money when you don't. Amen? Sister Phyllis here for this. Does it literally mean every little detail, every minute thing that you do? I mean, we ought to get this. Like, if you're going to go to work, you ought to work heartily and do it as unto the Lord. You do your very best. If you go to school and you are sitting in class, you should not be with your head down drooling on the desk. You should be awake and paying attention and listening and learning. If you're studying for a test, you ought to do your best. Do it heartily. This is saying whatever we do in our lives, we do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. And here's the truth. Like I said, if you're not convicted by this, you should, because none of us do everything we do as unto the Lord. We don't live that way. Because we like to put our life in little boxes. This is my home box, and this is my work box, and this is my school box, and this is my church box, and this is my family box. And we act differently depending on where we are. And God says, no, you do everything. Your whole life is in Christ. It's not complicated, but it seems to be difficult for us. Okay, how many of you guys slacked off when you were in school? Yeah, so all the kids are like, I still do. How many of you guys have ever slacked off at work? Mm-hmm. I'm afraid some people aren't being honest right now. Amen. I wasn't even looking at you, Zach. I was looking behind you, but that's okay. You see, we read these verses, and here's what I'm trying to get to. We ought to be doers of the word, not hearers only. This is not the first time most of you in the room have ever heard this verse. We know this, but has it changed the way we live our life? Well, it's not going to. Listen, these actions aren't going to change in our daily life if the first part doesn't happen and our hearts and minds aren't changed first. Because you can leave here with good intentions. You know what? This year, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do everything I do as unto the Lord. But if you're not in his word every day and you're not walking with him internally, if it's not in you, then it's not going to come out of you. It'll last for a little while, but then you're going to fizzle out because that's what we do. But if we are walking with him daily and it's on the inside, our hearts and minds are changed by his spirit and by his word, then we can live this out. So what is in you, whatever you do, your actions, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Whatever you do, do it in the name, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do. And can I say, wherever you are, live your life for Christ at home. Live your life for Christ at work. Live your life in Christ at school. Live your life in Christ wherever you go. Look at what he says here in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. At home, you ought to live out your life in Christ. You see that this flows out of that, right? You see that this all starts with, if you're risen in Christ, then live this way. And then he tells you all the ways to do that. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and minds. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. All of those things, and they're going to flow out where? In your real life. That wives are going to submit to their husband. That husbands are going to love their wives the way Christ loved the church. That children are going to obey their parents. And fathers are going to be good and loving fathers who don't provoke their children, but rather help their children. Everybody with me? It's going to happen at home. It's going to happen at work. Now, in verse 22, he's going to talk about servants. And then on into chapter 6, he's going to talk about masters. This is literally the master and the bondservant relationship. This is a master-slave relationship. We don't have that in our society today, but we do have the employer-employee relationship. We do have a teacher and student relationship. There are principles here that apply, okay? So look at it in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So if you are a servant or an employee or a student or any level under the authority of someone else, then you do that job, you fulfill that role as to the Lord and not unto people. We have some honest people here today. Have any of you ever had a boss that you didn't really like or a supervisor? Anybody? Was it hard to do what they said? Hard to show them respect? God bless you. I see that hand. Man, this is rough. It's rough. Amen. Moving on. When you have a supervisor, a boss, maybe that you don't have the kind of respect for you ought to, that's when it gets real. Some of you, you have people you work for that you like, that you enjoy working for. They're Christians, and they treat you right, and they're fair, and it's easy. But he says, listen, it doesn't matter how they treat you. You serve them as though you're serving the Lord. Because that's who you are serving. I don't care who your supervisor is or who your boss is or who your teacher is or who your administrator is or whoever has authority over you. Ultimately, your authority is Christ, and he's the one you're living for. And do you have any idea what kind of a testimony it is when someone is in a hard situation and they serve in a right way as unto the Lord? I just submit to you this. Any business in America should want to have Christians for their employees. But a lot of them don't. Because a lot of Christians don't work as though unto the Lord. They work for themselves. Shouldn't be that way. And let me just give you this little side note too. Everybody ready? This is important for you, good Baptist people. Most waitresses in restaurants here in Oklahoma, in particular in the South, hate more than anything for church people to come to their businesses. I promise you, you go survey waitresses and waiters any restaurant around here, and their worst day is Sunday, and they hate to see the church people come. That's a shame. They're impatient, they're grumpy, they're ungrateful, and they don't tip very well. And if you leave a Calvary Baptist Church gospel track at a restaurant, it stinking better have a tip inside. Are you leaving gospel tracks without a tip in it? If you're going to leave a gospel track without a tip, it better be from another church. I wish I was joking. The way we live our lives ought to be as unto the Lord. Here's the problem, though. We don't want to be servants. We don't want to be servants, but we are servants. Say, I'm not a servant, I'm the boss. Okay. All right, boss, look at verse 1 in chapter 6. Masters, this is for you, boss. Give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. I'm the boss. I'll do what I want to do. You better take that attitude, check it, because you have a master in heaven, and he sees how we treat other people. It's one of the biggest problems that Israel had. They mistreated the poor and the needy. They didn't care for them. They didn't love them. And God said, if you're not going to treat them right, I am going to deal with you in the same way. So we show equality and justice, and we remember that we have a master in heaven. So whatever role you have, you live out your life in Christ. Whatever is in you, you live it out in Christ. Whatever you do, you live it out in Christ. Wherever you are, you live it out in Christ. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. He goes back into the things that we do. Do everything in the name of Jesus. Continue in prayer. Walk in wisdom. Speak in grace. Whatever you do it in Christ as unto the Lord. Wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do is driven by a mind that's been renewed by the Word of God, by the knowledge of Christ in you. Amen. Too many of us have grown up, and I don't think it's been on purpose, but so many of us who have grown up in church, I got the Sunday night crowd here. This is the preaching to the choir, as it were. So many of us have grown up with the idea that we go to church. We don't go to church. We are the church. We get this idea that the church is only when we gather together. That's all it is, but that's not right at all. We live out our life in Christ every day. And you don't put on your Christian jacket when you come into church and take it off when you go out the door. We live our life in Christ every moment of every day. That's the way it's supposed to be. That we are living out our life in Christ wherever we go, whatever we say, whatever we do, in every role that God has given to us. Christ is our life. And our life is hidden. Our life is bound up in Jesus. Are you risen in Christ? Are you alive in Christ? When he appears in glory, are you going to appear with him? Is heaven your home? Then we ought to live like it every day. And it's amazing to me how simple God's made it, just to walk with Jesus, walking in the newness of life that he has given to us, walking, living out the life that he's given us. Tonight, as we wrap up this part of our service and the message, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Just stay right where you're at. But I'm going to ask you as the whole church to spend some time praying with me, because I'm convicted that I have not lived out my life in Christ to the fullest in the past year. And maybe I'm alone. Maybe I'm the only one in the whole congregation that feels that way. But maybe some of you feel the same way I do. Maybe some of you recognize that I have slacked off. I have been distracted. I've been discouraged. I've been a little depressed and disheartened. And I need for Jesus to revive my heart. I need to renew my commitment to Jesus. I need to refocus my purposes and align them with his purposes. I want to live my life that he has given to me in Jesus this year. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Right where you are, if you feel like coming to the altar, you do that. I'm going to tell you this. I don't think we need a piano player for you to respond and to get your heart right with Jesus. Right where you are up here, I want to invite you to just spend some time praying, asking God to forgive where we've fallen short and to give us the courage and the strength and the help and the grace that we need to live our life in Christ in 2023. Let's pray.